Hi, this is Tracy Swedlow, Editor-in-Chief of Interactive TV Today and Radio ITVT, and the co-producer of the TV of Tomorrow show, which is coming up June 13th and 14th, 2018, in San Francisco. We are very happy to have a gentleman who is the Chief of Innovation from a company called DataXu. It's actually spelled D-A-T-A-X-U, and the domain is dataxu.com. And his name is Sandro. Are you there? Sandro Catanzaro.
Yes. How are you, Tracy?
Catanzaro. Sandro Catanzaro. Very nice to meet you. And you're also co-founder.
Happy to be in the program.
Oh, sorry, I interrupted.
Co-founder of the company.
Yes. Okay. We're very happy to have you here. And we generally, you know, we hadn't really interviewed you in the past, and we wanted to find out more about the company in detail, so I thought we would do this podcast. So could you give me a little bit of an understanding of how you founded the company in short, and you know what your particular mandate is as Chief Innovation Officer, please?
Thank you. You know, the company was a few years back in 2004, we were doing research at the Aeroastro Department at MIT. Bill Simmons, myself, and we were both working on decision science, evaluating how to design an architecture, what is the type of rockets and capsules and orbits that should be followed to send people to Mars, you know, humans to Mars, and bring them back safely. And this was a very successful project in itself. NASA was really well impressed with our research. And later on, we started thinking, well, this is so good for space research, it can have commercial applications. So we started evaluating many different ways in which this can be applied. And over a couple dozen ways, and you name it, we tried it, logistics, financial market, financial trading. But at the end, we thought that applying the software to marketing was going to be extremely interesting because while on the sell side, so people who are trying to sell media from digital media, have somehow advanced tools, on the buy side, agencies and marketers were not necessarily having the best tools to decide whether an ad was valuable. So that was our initial go-to-market. I mean, it was super fun to have all these projects about sending people to Mars and what is the hardware, but eventually having an application in marketing.
But now your research is probably being applied somewhere, right? Because everybody is all excited about going to Mars. As well.
Yeah, that's super funny. So you there is a movie, The Martian, and that movie shows one of the ways it is possible to go to reach Mars. So our decision research was how many ways are really possible to use to reach Mars, and we discovered that instead of, you know, people thought there were like 30 billion, we discovered that only 1162 were actually possible, and one of the 1162 is actually the one that's shown in the movie. And it's probably one of the most likely to be used. I mean, it looks very, very, very likely that's going to be the way, pre-position a rocket in Mars and making it make fuel so you can return back.
I wonder if it sounds like that research was explored by the author of The Martian, probably, and you know, it's probably all part of what's going on with SpaceX and so on and so forth as well.
Yeah, it's super fun. I mean. And now, you know, once we you know, this research was very exciting, but then again, we thought, well, about commercial applications. And what we do today is basically we use this software to help us be very efficient evaluating the probability that if we show an ad to somebody, that person will do something about that ad. They will take the action that the marketer, the advertiser desires. So that allows us to kind of do that very, very fast.
And from what I understand, that you invented an algorithm as part of your research there that has now become the basis of DataXu's platform, correct?
That is correct. And it's this idea that if you are able to select what is really possible instead of just working all the different probabilities, you can focus and you can invest more computing power, if you want, in evaluating whether any specific ad is going to be useful for the advertiser. So very, you know, 3 million times every second, we're evaluating individual ads and defining whether, you know, they're a good fit for people working for us and working, you know, advertisers working with our platform.
Well, there's a lot of there are a lot of complications about making this happen, and I want to hear how that's being solved. But let's sort of define quickly what your platform does. It does a number of things, right? You have several aspects to your platform, but the overall goal is to allow, like you said, the marketer to make a very confident media buy.
Correct. So we do have two main offerings. There is what we call the buy side and the sell side. So the buy side is our original offering, and it's focused on marketers and ad agencies. And it's about helping them acquire the media that's going to be the most adequate for their ad campaigns.
Well, when you say media, do you mean data, you know, data referring to audiences or what?
Ad spots, right? You want to buy
actual media, right? Okay, right.
So you want to place ads in certain places, and so what the software does is, and we started with digital banners back in the day. What the software does, it evaluates this probability of somebody doing something after you show them an ad. So in some ways, I think it's part of our way of thinking about in general about our company. We think that everything is an experiment, right? So each time we show an ad, it's an actual experiment. And there is two possible outcomes, right? So people may buy or not buy. So if people buy, we try to acquire more of that type of media. And if people don't buy, well, we try to buy less. And the whole process is fully automated, right? Based on basically, you know, AI, artificial intelligence. We capture the results of these past ads that were shown, and we use machine learning to identify what are the trends that are making those ads attractive to consumers and try to kind of acquire more of those ads.
Are you applying this against programming, story, you know, content itself, or just ads right now?
The focus now is with ads. A few clients of ours with whom we were working on the marketing platform, they have asked to adapt the platform to also recommend content. But in that way, it's kind of internal content internal to the website. But yeah, it's at the end of the day, for us, as long as you are deciding on something and you need kind of a high efficiency and use machine learning to decide on something, I think that the technology is applicable.
So, as you said, one aspect of your platform is to acquire the media,
exactly.
but the other one is your demand side
to
platform,
help,
correct?
Right. To help media sellers, media owners, right? So, when we developed the platform back in the day, we started with banners, and very quickly we expanded into mobile ads, video ads, ads on TV. And over the last 2 years, we have been working with TV, and as we were doing that, one thing we discovered is it was super interesting to kind of create a comprehensive view of, you know, the consumer. Consumers are now using multiple devices to access media. So that's what made us think about creating what's called a graph, which links all the different devices a consumer owns. You, Tracy, may have a cell phone, a computer, maybe a tablet. All these three devices are ways in which you consume media. And from the perspective of somebody trying to create an ad campaign, it is super useful to know that when you are not watching the phone, you may actually be using the tablet. So this graph allows to reaggregate all these audiences that are starting to be more fragmented into one and find the consumer wherever they are, you know, browsing for media. So as we were creating this graph, and it was super, you know, very useful for people buying media, we also discovered it to be very useful for people selling media. So now you have a TV network, and they create really high-quality content, and traditionally they were showing and selling that content through cable or through broadcast, and they have a sales force who would sell spots, and the spot is seen at the same time by thousands and thousands of people. But with the new technology, people are starting to use streaming, right? So now you have these devices over the top that connect to a TV set. And that's very convenient from the consumer perspective, right? Tonight I may go, you know, get home by 7. Maybe the sitcom I wanted to watch already shown in life, but if I turn on my streaming device, I can pull it and I can watch it when I want it. So that creates somehow a challenge for media sellers, because instead of having, you know, ratings may start going down, but actually it's not that less people are watching the show, they're watching it differently. So with our software, with what we're doing is we are aggregating all the distribution through streaming devices and cell phones and computers into one gigantic pool, and we're allowing also these media sellers to target with more advanced audiences. Instead of just using demographics, they can now apply an audience for, you know, you can say, you know, to an advertiser, I can offer you only the people who are interested in buying computers, or only the people who are in the market for a luxury car, or only the people who are interested in, you know, outdoors clothing. And that is very interesting from the advertiser perspective, right? So that then they're willing to pay an extra for that type of capability.
Well, our
solution, yes.
No, go ahead.
Our solution for the sell side then is helping media sellers reaggregate all this fragmented distribution into one gigantic pool, allow them to apply an advanced audience against it, and to be able to frequency cap, to control the frequency across all devices as if it were just a single consumer without, you know, really thinking that this is going through multiple devices.
Well, I know that you mentioned all of those different ways that places that you would pull data from. You only mentioned a few, but connected TV, addressable TV, digital, video, mobile, native, all of it, you know. There are a lot of silos, right? There are a lot of companies that don't want to give up their data. And I know you're saying that you're pulling data from how people use their phones. I mean, it's a very complex, political, difficult process to bring unseen activity, and I'm curious how you're getting that together with all those other forms of data that people don't normally ask for, like whether this person is using their telephone. I mean, how do you go about doing that? Is that or are you able to pull data from OTT platforms like, you know, Netflix,
right,
and Roku and things, places like that, or not?
That's a great question. Data silos tended to be a problem. Used to be a problem. And the thing about data silos, you have fundamentally a situation where there is a few companies that are creating what you can call a walled garden. So they want to make sure that all the data and all the inventory stays within their walls, and the only way you can use their, you know, access consumers to them is by going within that walled garden. So that's one philosophy. We believe more on a more open market where it's possible to better understand the behavior of consumers. And what we see is from people who own TV content, and this is really high quality content. This is your dramas, your sitcoms, your movies. Those companies are really in the forefront of making the media accessible and being able to create ways to access the media with advanced audiences. Now, if you think about sharing data across those platforms through our graph solution, you mentioned OTP, we can re-identify consumers even though they are using any streaming device. We can re-identify those consumers, and we can apply, you know, against that larger audience, an advanced targeting solution.
Well, how do you do that? Is that the secret sauce?
Well, not really. Well, I mean, it's part of the platform, right? So what we do is what we have is what's called a graph. What a graph is for every consumer. Each of their devices, and sometimes within the same device, different applications have an ID. So these IDs are different, right? So the ID that you, Tracy, have in your set-top box in your house, and even the one you have in the streaming device, are different, and that's also a different ID that you have in your phone and in your computer.
Mm-hmm.
So what our graph does is identifies that all these devices are linked to one person, who's you, and then because we know that you, Tracy, are somebody who's very interested in technology, you may be in the, you know, you may be a target for a brand that's trying to advertise, you know, electronics. And therefore, when these companies are creating an ad campaign, they can decide, well, I want my audience to be people interested in electronics. And if you're watching TV, and then next day you are accessing media, some video through your cell phone, or then the following day, you know, you're watching, you continue watching your sitcom in a computer, we can continue showing you the ads of this electronics company. Because each time we see an ad about to be loaded from each of these different platforms, it comes into our system, and we see, okay, this ID, we know, is linked to all these other IDs, and we know this person is in the target for electronics, therefore, we can show them an ad.
Are you using ACR to identify an individual device tied to a particular ID?
That's a great question. ACR is a great technology in the sense that can not only identify opportunities to place ads that are digital, but also expand into the linear world, right? So now you have part of the campaign. So for example, this electronics company may be buying spots in broadcast. And those spots in broadcast, you would really benefit if you knew who has been seeing those, so that you can, if the frequency is enough, stop. And if the frequency is still lacking, or simply that person hadn't seen that, create a delivery of ads through other ways, you know, digital and addressable. So ACR, yeah, is absolutely a technology that is still useful for this.
But I mean, how do you get this kind of data? I mean, if you are not using ACR, how do you extract this kind of?
We do use, yes.
Oh, you do use it. Okay, because I was saying, like, if you're working with the cable companies, you know, they won't necessarily give you their data, right? At least not in the United States.
Depending on the situation and depending for which use cases, it may be possible. But the ACR data sets are fully opt-in now, nowadays, mm-hmm. and those data sets allow to have a very comprehensive understanding of the consumer.
Okay, so I would love to hear like a use case or something, you know, an example where you were really able to deliver, if that's possible. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure.
For a particular client, that'd be great, please.
Yeah, sure. One example of a campaign we have had for Colombia Sportswear. So Colombia is, as you probably know, a manufacturer. You know, they make outdoor jackets and really good, really cool stuff for the winter. And you know, here in Boston, we use a lot of that.
Right. I've been in Boston in February. It's not fun.
It's a bit snowy. So I think we have some snow coming next Tuesday. Anyway, so these guys, we ran it for them on a campaign that was at the same time reaching consumers through streaming, so connected TV. This is media you will access through a Fire TV, a Chromecast, or a Roku, and also through addressable TV, which, as you know, is media that is delivered, you know, ads that are delivered through a set-top box through a cable company, right? And
right.
This campaign ran at the same time in both. So we have an audience of people interested in outdoor apparel, you know, typical, you know, people who love to go camping, and they're the prime target for Colombia. And we run these campaigns together. And so we were able to measure how much lift was possible to create for people exposed versus people unexposed. And the thing about our measurement is we really randomized the selection of the control group, the people unexposed. And we were able to measure on the connected TV side, we created a 1.35 lift, and on the addressable TV side, about 1.45. So very interesting increased activity after people being exposed. And underlying all this was our ability to translate an audience found through digital audiences into an execution in connected TV in, you know, 40 inches plus in a, you know, a living room, and also an addressable TV, which is kind of basically linear TV where the ad is intercepted and replaced by an app for Columbia Sportswear. They're very successful. The clients were really, really happy, and they renewed with us and actually created a second campaign couple months later, where we run linear TV. So in that case, the execution in linear TV goes back to your question on ACR, right? So you can know which people have been watching specific TV shows and see whether the audience, this outdoor apparel audience, is present at a higher percentage than the average in those TV shows. And you create a TV plan, a linear broadcast TV plan, that is full of these shows where the Colombia sportswear audience is especially highly concentrated. And for this campaign, I mean, it ran for a couple of months, and we measured that an increase of about 1.8 times higher activity during the campaign than pre-campaign. So extremely successful. The client, again, really, really impressed with the results, and they continue being a good client of ours.
So when you say activity, you mean conversions, people really buying something.
Exactly. People visiting their online store and people visiting their product pages and finding places to buy the product.
Were you able to track, where these conversions were coming from? I'm assuming you would be, or to provide them with an understanding of actual revenue, or maybe that's just data that they keep on their site privately?
I think in this case it's data they keep, but one thing we do for a sandwich store here in the U.S., these guys have, probably several thousand stores here in the U.S., and they sell sandwiches. And what we do for them, we show ads in connected TVs, again, 4 inches plus in the living room experience, and then we measure for people exposed over a period of time following exposure, how likely were they to walk very close to the store. I mean, we presume they're getting into the store. And then again, it was extremely successful, and they continue being a big client of ours. This is based on geolocation technology.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because there's the ATSC 3.0 technology that's emerging today that will transform the local TV marketplace into completely an interactive opportunity that could use geolocation and, send people ads based on where they're walking and content where they're going, and deliver, all kinds of new customers to local businesses through local television, exploring, delivering their content to people on the go. So, and interactively. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, very excited about ATSC 3.0. I mean, it will make the amount of addressable inventory so much higher. And what we think is, with more addressability, you can make ads much more efficient. You can show ads only to people who care about those ads. And with that, you have three effects that are super beneficial. So the first one is, from the consumer perspective, the ad load can go down. If you are showing ads and only the ads that are important, and you are avoiding the spillover of ads that are not important to the consumer, the ad load can drop, and you can also control frequency. The second one is, from the side of the advertiser, if I can avoid showing ads to people who are not interested in my product, I'm going to save money, right? And I'm going to probably invest even more, but knowing that ads are not wasted and only shown to people who care. And the third effect is from the side of the seller, right? Because instead of showing 6 ads, one of which is going to work and the other 5 are kind of, between quotes, wasted, my cost per unit can go up. And I can make, I can increase my efficiency and I can make more money at the end of the day. And then again, I can also offer a better experience to the consumer by, these reduced uploads, because I don't need to show these 5 ads nobody cares about. So I think, these new technologies are going to make a revolution in general.
Well, the obvious question to ask then is, if you are building a graph that's so accurate and you're eliminating waste, to what extent are you also able to protect people's privacy, or that's not even possible anymore? I mean, because you obviously have a lot of information on quite a lot of people, all of us.
Very fair question. So in our site, we really take privacy very, very much to heart. I mean, at the end of the day, each person who works in the company is also a consumer at the end of the day. And we make, you know, we make take a good effort to a great effort to make sure that we respect consumer privacy. So one of the things that we have in our platform, I mean, we never collect names or addresses or phone numbers or any information that can be traced to an individual. All the IDs that we use are basically random numbers, and we'll have a really hard time identifying who's behind that random number. I think it's impossible, basically. Right? What we know is some people who are in this list of random numbers are interested in outdoors apparel. And those individuals, if we show them ads about outdoors apparel, it's going to be interesting to them because Colombia, you know, sells really good jackets. And at the same time, we're going to be avoiding to show them ads for diapers if they don't have kids that actually are going to be using them.
I know the example is always diapers, right? Should people are like, do I want diaper ads now?
Life, they're super important. Yeah. So important in a time in your life, and then they stop being important.
Right. I've been through that with my kid too. So I guess then I would say, if you can do all of these amazing things, what can't you do, or where are your challenges ahead? Since you're Chief Innovation Officer, what are the things that still need to be done in order to improve the platform to make it even more powerful?
I think from our side, we see a great technology that has an opportunity to transform the way people consume TV. And as I mentioned, there is going to be benefits for all the participants in this industry, right? Probably you're asking about challenges. I think one of the things we see is, in many cases, adoption of new technology, especially for companies that have had infrastructure that is physical infrastructure, right? You have towers and transformers and racks with connections, and these cable companies, over time, they will transform the technology, but it's not easy because, I mean, it requires a specific access to all these different places, in some cases changing the hardware, some other cases changing the software. So adoption of the technology now is accelerating, but, I mean, from us, it couldn't come fast enough. But I would say that over the last 12 months, we are seeing really a strong interest to apply and, you know, pilot and start running at scale with these new technologies, because what people are seeing on the sales side is that the consumer is moving and the advertiser is moving. So for them, it's an advantage, you know, it's a great opportunity to also move and have a very very strong argument to recapture budgets from advertisers who in the past may have moved to walled gardens that produce user-generated content. So these walled gardens have really large reach, but the quality of the media may not be great, right? So you have now media sellers like a TV station or, you know, a programmer or a TV network, and those guys have really high-quality content. So for them, TV networks and cable companies have in front of them a really great opportunity to have a strong argument to capture those budgets back.
Are you looking forward to, you know, potentially the integration of blockchain? Is that something that you're looking at, or is that going to make it more difficult for you to compete?
Blockchain is a great technology, and we believe that it's going to have really, really good applications. In general, my thinking about blockchain is it applies to any situation where you need a ledger to store information, and you need that ledger to be dated and to be difficult to falsify. I would say that applying it in some of the use cases that we have, it can be useful. But, you know, over the next 12 months, we're going to actually discover what are the actual really useful situations to apply it. I don't think it applies to every use case, I'll say that.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what you decide to do on that. One other question is, how about, you know, interactivity with the ads themselves rather than just, you know, having to view them and measuring whether or not they view them on this device or that device. But what about when they click on the ads or, you know, or ads that are interactive and take you deeper into the platform? Are you pursuing that? I know there aren't enough of those. We love interactivity of all kinds here, but at Interactive TV Today, of course. But I'm kind of curious if anyone's asking you to look at how people behave, how they click through an ad campaign.
This is a great question. So our roots are actually based on what you described, interacting with an ad, right? We come out of ads shown in websites and video ads where you can actually click on the ad because it's shown in a computer. So our platform, the basic signals that are used to run what we call prospecting and that allow to refine and use machine learning and artificial intelligence to identify consumers who are likely to act up on an ad at those that interaction with the ad that you described. So for us, I mean, this is something we have been doing at scale for many years. As we move forward into the world of TV, depending how the TV experience is for the consumer, the opportunity for interaction is going to be more or less. So in some ways, some people define two types of video, lean forward and lean back video. So when you're leaning forward, you're kind of looking on top of your computer and you're very much paying a lot of attention you're in the media you're consuming. And that's different than when you are in your home. You turn on with a remote the TV set, you lean back, and you just watch and consume in a more passive way. So whether there's going to be interactivity in this second experience, the interactivity is going to be at scale, that's still something that's not well-defined. I do see that, many people speak about second screen. People are watching TV and they're using a second screen.
Right.
I haven't seen that also happening at a lot of scale. But I think the journey is still out there for the second screen experience.
Second screen has, comes in waves of success and then it sort of disappears and then it comes back in some other form. And so we'll see, We're watching how that goes every day, believe me.
Exactly.
Come check it out at our conference, TV of Tomorrow Show. I think those are all my questions for now, unless there's something you'd like to add.
Yeah, I think the meetings and conversations I've been having over the last 12 months, I have become really convinced that TV in 1 or 2 years is going to be very different. I could even think that any of the cable companies, any day or another, will decide to retire the set of boxes and give us some streaming device with the same functionality and probably much more flexible because it can be software updated. So I think
there are a lot of them are embracing skinny bundles and application strategy. So the plan is to measure all of that take up. So
exactly, and with that you can think with a better experience where consumers can pull the content as they wish, and ads can be much more targetable. I think we're going to be seeing a much more rich experience in terms of consuming media and consuming TV, and also in the amount of, the quality of the TV we consume. back in the day, we used to get access to 3 TV channels, and whatever was showing up at that moment, that's what you could see. And nowadays, if you want to watch British TV, you can do that. If you want to learn French, you can watch, a channel in French and so on and so forth. So I see that the opportunities for TV in the future are going to be really, really, really interesting.
It'll be interesting, yes, when all of that is, all of these apps are sort of accessible internationally, you can, and then pull it into one marketplace. That'll be an interesting study. Advertising is also popping up in VR. And, of course, our augmented reality. So I'm sure you have huge, new platforms that you can explore as those things
emerge. We do place ads on VR. And the experience is very interesting. So the experience is either a banner that shows up somewhere, you know, in your VR experience, or it can be a video that shows in a screen, like on a TV set, and you have to turn around and see the TV set and watch
360.
It.
360.
Mm-hmm. So it's very cool. And the thing about VR, and I love the technology, but what I'm hoping is at some point it can be a bit more social, right? You can see other people and you can interact with them, and we can, you know, it can be an experience that kind of is more involving with others in the room.
Well, I think I saw some of that yesterday at a conference I went to, that where they're, you know, they're exploring VR and advertising. So I'm assuming that will absolutely happen. I mean, I've been studying VR since the early 90s, and they've always discussed that, you know, putting like a TV screen in the middle of a 3D space or a banner on the side of a wall. Anyway, it's all happening, as they said in that movie. Thank you so much, Sandro. I really appreciate it. Thanks for all your work and also driving us towards Mars at some point, because I'm a big space fan, of course. And hopefully we will get to see you in the future. At our conference.
The opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It was great, and looking forward to continue working in for the future of TV.
Thanks. Okay, everyone. You can go to DataXu at DataXu.com and see Sandro Catanzaro's bio, which is also below on our page. He's the co-founder and chief innovation officer of the company. Thanks so much, everyone. This is Tracy Swedlow, Editor-in-Chief, Radio ITVT. Don't forget to tvotshow.com to check out who is going to be speaking at our next conference coming up June 13th and 14th in San Francisco. Take care.